You're listening to the My SBA Loan Pro Podcast, hosted by Ryan Smith, principal broker and founder of Think SBA, a one-of-a-kind loan brokerage serving small business owners and entrepreneurs in their quest to purchase real estate, acquire a business or franchise, or obtain working capital. In each episode, Ryan reveals valuable insights and best practices regarding the SBA loan program and application process. Let's get started.
And now what I'd like you to do is to transition to this exit strategy process that you've created. So I want everyone to understand, again, this comes straight from the mind of Glenn Arnold, with over 30 years experience helping individuals transact commercial real estate. And this was born out of Glenn's past clients who at the time were buyers. Well, now they're exiting their business, and he'll talk about why they're exiting their business. And what Glenn helps them with is determining which vehicle is the best vehicle for them to exit the real estate. So whether or not to sell the real estate or whether or not to lease the real estate. And Glenn has a lot of power-packed information as it relates to that. And so, listener, if you own your building and you are a business owner and you are coming up on exiting your business, this is going to be a great opportunity for you to listen to an expert help walk you through whether you should sell the building or whether you should keep the building and lease it to a new tenant.
Yeah, well, in fact, I, as you know, Ryan, I have a 1-hour learning event program that really takes a deep dive into this, but I'm going to kind of give you, you know, the summary, the executive summary of, you know, the materials that I cover and the concepts. So now you have a business owner, and sometimes it's a single business owner, a person, or sometimes it's a husband and wife. Sometimes there are two or three partners in the business. Sometimes they all own the business equally, and sometimes they don't own the business equally. And a long time ago, they bought their real estate as a long-term wealth building strategy. And so now what happens is it's a natural kind of transition. People that have been in the business for 15, 20, sometimes less, sometimes more, 30 years, whatever it is, they bought their building a long time ago. And now as they age, it starts to become time to think about transition, succession, and exit planning. And most of these business owners, unfortunately, what I have found are focused in the business exit. And some of them don't do much advanced planning even for that, but some of them do. And, you know, to exit a business, to do it the right way and to maximize the value, you know, you have to start 2 to 3 years ahead of time. And what's really interesting is that for most of these owner users that bought their real estate a long time ago, and it was a great wealth building strategy, unfortunately, the clients and all the trust, most of the trusted advisors treat the real estate as an afterthought. They don't really do any of the advanced planning with the real estate. And because they do that, they lose the ability to do a lot of different financial maneuvering. And so about 7 or 8 years ago, when I got to the point where many of my clients, I was having conversations with them and they were starting to go through in the business transition, succession, or exit planning, we would be having these conversations, which I typically do with most of my clients every, you know, year, hopefully, to give them an update on what's going on in the market. And I started to hear, a common comment became more and more common, which was, hey, we're thinking of selling or exiting our business. Or, by the way, did you know we sold our business? And if they don't ask that question, I usually ask the question to them, how many years do you have left in the business? Some people say, well, I want to be out as soon as possible. And then that leads to a whole list of questions about what their plans are for the business in terms of who the successors are. But then when we get to the real estate side, I usually ask questions like, you know, I have a whole list, like almost 2 pages worth of questions that are kind of similar to that top, that list of top reasons to consider owning. Well, I've got 2 pages on the business as well as the real estate to ask these business owners what their plans are, who the successors are, who's involved. And what I found interesting is that most of the business owners had preconceived notions of what they wanted to do with the real estate. And the trusted advisors oftentimes weren't, you know, the only question that was being asked by the trusted advisors and the clients themselves is, what's my building worth? And unfortunately, most commercial real estate agents work in a manner that's highly transactional. And they just say, you know, hey, you want to sell your building? Are you thinking of selling your building? Here's what it's worth. But it's really not that simple. And what I figured out was it's like a puzzle. And if you really start to look at and understand that there's multiple strategies on what to do with the real estate as the business exits. And it really is highly dependent upon who the successors are, both in the business and also in the real estate. Because the successors in the business and the real estate are going to most times drive the real estate strategies. And so what happens is when you remember at the very beginning, I said, sometimes you have a single owner, or sometimes it's a husband and wife, or sometimes it's 2 families or 3 families or partners that own the business that also, when they bought the real estate, they formed a partnership, an LLC partnership in the real estate. And so now this is a very common thing that I have experienced in the past where, you know, you're not just dealing with one family, you're dealing with several families. And so what happens, this becomes kind of interesting. What happens is as the business owners get closer to a time where they're going to transition, usually the 3 partners or 2 partners aren't always aligned in the same time frame. So out of the 3 partners, I have this going on right now with 2 different groups. One of the 3 already wants to be out of the business. And so then the question becomes, well, what do we do and how do we handle the exit in the business and more importantly in the real estate? So what happens now is you see how when you start to look at who the successors are in the business, and sometimes there are no successors, but you always have to ask, who are the successors? Are they employees? Are they family? Are they competitors? Are they strategic buyers? Are they financial buyers? And once you start to see how they're all kind of intertwined, then you begin to ask the question, like, what are we going to do with this real estate after the transition? And how are each one of these successors going to be viewing the real estate? Are they going to need to, want to, or be required to stay in that real estate after the transition takes place in the business? And then you get into all these other questions. Like, I look at clients and I say to them, do you even know whether your building is worth more vacant or is it worth more as a leased investment? And they just, you know, that's a question that takes people aback because they never have really even thought about why or how a building could be worth more vacant than it is as a leased income stream. And then I go through the motions of explaining to them how that can work sometimes. And then you get into the whole thing of, if you're going to sell the business and you're going to sell the real estate, which comes first? And if you sell the real estate first, now you're starting to talk about a sale-leaseback transaction. And then you start to talk about, well, if you do a sale-leaseback first and you set a rental rate and you take chips off the table on the real estate, how does that affect the EBITDA if they go to sell the business afterwards? And then you can go to the other side and say, what if they decide to sell the business first? Where does that leave you with the real estate? And so now you start to see all these different, you know, intertwined ways of looking at the real estate. And then there's all these different holds. There's What people don't realize is there's multiple hold strategies and there's multiple sales strategies. And they don't really think out what the multiple strategies are. And once we do explore what the multiple strategies are, we look at all kinds of things like, number one, what's the pros and cons of each strategy? So if there's three hold strategies, depending on who the successor is, whether you lease it to the successor or whether you lease it to an unrelated tenant or whatever, there's all these strategies. Same thing with hold. And the question that I go through and the process I go through explores what are the pros and cons of each hold strategy and also each sales strategy. And not only that, but what are the risks? What are the direct and indirect costs? How long is it going to take? And what's the ending value for each one of those strategies? So that's actually the process of what we do. And it by doing this thing called the broker opinion of value, I am able to do an in-depth strategic and financial analysis, taking into consideration who the successors might be in the business and kind of seeing how that plays out into the potential strategies for the owner. And then they get to see everything clearly and can have a big objective overview of which strategies are going to be the best fit for them and their family. And then once the best strategies are identified, planning early is critical because some of these strategies take time to implement. You can't just decide to do it at the last minute. And I'm speaking specifically of certain tax strategies, like I'll just give you two examples, 1031 exchanges and also charitable gifting. Those transactions need a lot of advanced planning. Otherwise, those can be disqualified. And the owners forfeit all of the benefits that could be available to them. And so we see a lot of these business owners that are highly successful in their business, smart people, but they're making uninformed decisions on the real estate. And when you think about it, many of these business owners, when they get to the point of transitioning the business, because they have a very high concentration of their wealth in the real estate, they're approaching what might and often is the most important financial decision they make in their lifetime, which is what do we do with this asset that represents our highest concentration of net worth? And that's kind of the puzzle that I help business owners solve. And that's it. So that kind of gives you, I think, a real broad overview of what does it look like on the other side? You know, 20 years ago, they buy this building. Well, what are the issues that the business owner has to work through when you look at the other side 20 years or 15 years or 30 years later?
Yeah. And as you were talking, I was just listening and thinking to myself, how many times have I been engaged as someone who is going to find the financing for a business owner to sell their business? What they've done, this business owner, is they've contacted or they've been contacted by a business broker. That business broker is going to get paid by selling the business. And so that business broker and or that business owner, they're working together to determine what is the value of the business. And let's just face it, for the business owner, the seller, that's a highly stressful transaction. They're thinking about their legacy, retirement, how much money will they have to live the rest of their days, et cetera. But because of all those things to think about, they're not thinking about the real estate. I was at a meeting this past week and someone shared with me, it was a business broker, this exact scenario where they had a business that was valued at X, but the real estate had more value. Now, another thing that complicates this is those real estate brokers who don't have your experience, and they're saying, oh, just sell the business or just transfer the business. Who cares about the business? It doesn't even have value. But sell the real estate. And so there's this very knee-jerk reaction out there by many quote-unquote trusted advisors who don't have the experience that you do, Glenn. And what I heard you say, and this is something that I want the listeners to really understand, is that there are so many options. Number one, yes, they are highly complex for me, for them, but they're not complex for you, Glenn. And what you do is you provide a strategy and clarity, and you place in front of them the economic viability of the various strategies, and you allow them to make the decision based on their overall comprehensive, holistic exit strategy, including the business and including the real estate. And the final point that I'll make here is, and you already made the point, that many business owners don't do very much planning at all when they're selling the business, and even less when looking to sell or lease the real estate. And really, if they don't have the information that you provide, they're just closing their eyes and they're shooting at the dartboard blind because they don't have that information. So I really appreciate you sharing this with the listeners of this podcast. Glenn, if I'm a business owner right now, I own my real estate, I have an exit of 3 to 5 years, and I am working with an exit planner and I'm working with a business broker, but no one's mentioned my real estate, and I now watch this and I am introduced to you, what is my next step and how do we engage? And what are you going to walk me through in order to help me determine whether or not I should sell or lease my space?
Right. Well, a couple things. Let me just, before I answer that, I'm going to just mention one of the things and underscore it that you mentioned earlier, which is the lack of planning. The lack of planning really causes a total loss of any financial maneuvering that, or more put in other terms, being able to maximize the value of whatever that real estate transaction may be. So I'll underscore that, and then I'll also answer your question. Next steps is really just a quick initial phone call, typically, where I go through a list of questions, and then if it becomes something that makes sense for further engagement, then there's a more thorough list of me collecting information from the owner about who the successors are. There's all kinds of, I mean, it's probably a process that, you know, it's probably, you know, a 30-minute interview, initial interview, could be over the phone. And then the next step would be actually understanding a little bit more about the property, gathering the information like leases and understanding what the business owner's current and future plans are, who the successors are in the business, also in the real estate and also in the family. And then the final step is doing what I call a broker opinion of value. And this is the other way I describe it, is it's an in-depth strategic and financial analysis of the property and all the different strategies. And that's a process that takes some time to do. But at the end, the owners get a report, and it's based on, you know, all the various potential strategies, and it outlines what the strategies are, as I mentioned earlier, pros, cons, risks. And the one that a lot of people don't really realize is what are the direct and indirect costs of doing each one of these choices of transactions. I will say that when we've done the thorough, in-depth strategic and financial analysis, I would say that probably maybe close to 50% of these clients go a different direction than they initially thought they would go. In other words, they have preconceived notions of, oh, we're going to hold forever, or, well, we're going to sell, we're definitely going to sell because this or that. And then once we really do the in-depth strategic and financial analysis, I would say that close to half have different ideas and opens up their minds to different strategies that may actually be better. Maybe they're not. Maybe they were right. The last thing is I have an amazing case study that I want to share. And I'm not sure whether we're done now, but I want to share a quick 3-minute case study with you that at the time, if we have time in this program, but I don't want to cut short any questions that you have now or, you know, any of your feedback right now or, you know, discussion between us.
No, I think this would be this would be a great time to share the case study. Okay. And then once we do that, I'll wrap up the program.
Perfect. Okay. This is an amazing story that I'm going to share. I've been in my learning event that I mentioned to you that you've attended. I cover 5 different case studies, different families and different scenarios and different outcomes. And I'm always on the hunt for good case studies. Well, last summer I hit the holy grail on probably the best case study I've ever heard about how people don't know what they don't know. And they can make big mistakes and leave a lot of money on the table. Very successful, smart people, because they're not doing the planning. So here's the story. So Ryan, I don't know if you know, I think you know I'm an ocean swimmer. And in the summertime, mostly in the summertime, but I have this group of swimmers in the summertime that we meet on Sunday mornings. And last summer we were meeting, and there's usually like 30 or 40 of us that show up in the warm months. And some people are regulars, they come every Sunday, and then others show up once and you never see them again. And then there's different people like me, I only show up when the water's warm. Anyway, after we swim in the ocean for an hour, we all go to have coffee and everybody sits around and socializes. And I met this guy, and it was his first time that I had ever seen him. So I asked him, hey, is this your first time? Are you a regular? Maybe I've missed you. He said, no, this is my first time and I just moved here recently. I'm getting to know the community. And I said, where'd you move from? I moved from, I think he said he was from Phoenix. And I said, well, what caused you to move here? Well, I retired. What business were you in? Well, my family business was in the commercial laundry business. And I said, interesting. And so you guys sold your business. Yeah, we did. How many locations did you have? Well, we had about 13 or 14 locations. And then I asked, well, how many of those did you own? And he said, we owned about 9 of them. And I said, so how did everything work out? And when you sold it? And he goes, it worked out great. And I asked him, did you end up selling the real estate? And he said, well, that's the only thing that I kind of have a regret about. I said, well, tell me more, because I'm collecting all these case studies. So what he told me was that the private equity firm that bought their business was really initially only interested in their business. And then about 2 or 3 months before they were going to close on the business, they came to the owners that own 9 or 10 of the properties. They said, we want to buy your real estate as well. And the sellers, the family said, well, we weren't really planning on selling, but what do you want to buy it for? And the buyer of the business offered a fair market value price. I mean, it was a fair price. So they took it and they ended up selling the real estate. And so then I said to him, well, so what was the problem? How did that not go well? And he said, well, we left a lot of money on the table. And I said, tell me more. And he said, I asked him, how many square feet of properties did you guys own? And he said, 350,000 square feet, roughly. I figured, you know, combination. Their main clients were casinos and hotels, and these were large facilities. So what happened was, is the private equity firm, when they bought this business, the financials of the commercial laundry were so good that they figured if they bought the business and they bought the real estate, they could play around with the rents in those buildings. And even if they pushed those rents up 20% over what they were currently paying, they could still bundle the businesses and sell it to a larger private equity firm. And nobody would squawk about the rental rate because the financials were so good that they could afford to pay the extra rent. So when they bought the real estate, they signed a lease with themselves and they did a sale lease back and they bundled all these buildings, which made it institutional quality real estate because of the company that was behind them and the credit. They were able to go out to the institutional players and they were able to bundle the real estate and push the cap rate down. So when you push rental rates up, and you that pushes up the net operating income. And when you push cap rate down, that increases the price of the real estate. And so I didn't really specifically ask them, but I put a spreadsheet together and I played around with a delta between 20 and 25 cents a foot on 350,000 square feet. And I played around with the cap rates, and it was a difference of potentially a loss, what they left on the table, of $50 million.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know if that was the number, but it was a big number. So again, you know, lack of planning. Oh, and I asked them, did you have a real estate broker help you? No, we didn't really think we needed it because they were paying us fair market value. And, you know, the sellers of the real estate were probably thinking, why should we pay, you know, brokers? But what they didn't realize is if they had hired the right people, the money they would have spent on the commission would have paid back in multiples of what they earned back on the extra value on the real estate. So that's the story.
Wow. You know, again, there's so much there that you unpacked, but I think the overall lesson for any business owner who is exiting their business, they own their real estate, get Glenn involved, because he has forgotten more about real estate than I or most every other business owner will ever know. And so Glenn, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing all of the information that you've shared with us, your expertise, your experience. Again, over 30 years transacting commercial real estate, Glenn has perfected this presentation. If you're in the San Diego area and you'd like to be connected with Glenn, we'll provide his information in the show notes so that you can reach out to him and he can help you through this process. Glenn, can you help individuals across the country in San Diego? Where's your sweet spot?
Yeah, so it started out just locally, but what I'm doing now is as I get more referrals from trustees, wealth advisors, fiduciaries, CPAs, a lot of times the properties are not here in San Diego. And so what I do is I am still able to manage, be the basically the client contact or the main point of contact. And I can, what I do is if it's in a market that I'm not in, one of two things, either we have offices in those markets, or if we don't, it's very easy for me to find the local data from any broker that works in that market. I mean, that's the easy part. The easy part is getting values and sale comps. The hard part is understanding what the strategies are and how to financially maneuver so that they can take advantage. So I'm handling stuff all over the country right now. But thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad that you're able to do that. So Glenn Arnold, Voigt Real Estate Services, over 30 years experience transacting commercial real estate. Right now, if you are a business owner, you own your real estate, you are exiting within the next 3 to 5 years, make sure you reach out to Glenn. He can make sure that you maximize your real estate exit, whichever way you decide to go, whichever way maximizes your economic benefit and helps you reach your goals. Glenn, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it. And you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, and it's been my pleasure as well.
Thank you for listening to the My SBA Loan Pro podcast. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, and leave a review. But most importantly, we hope you'll use this information to start your SBA loan journey today by texting or calling us at 858-762-2774 or completing our online application at mysba.pro/app. That's mysba.pro/app. We look forward to working with you.